It's The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.
I'm Steve Scherr. Climate disruptions from human greenhouse gas emissions are happening now. Nations would have to cut their greenhouse gas emissions up to 70% by 2050 to forestall even higher temperatures and more disruptions.
According to UN climate reports, the energy sector remains the biggest emitter of CO2 and other greenhouse gases. Most of those emissions come from burning coal. With the need for energy rising, can the world cut coal emissions and still meet the energy demand?
Armin Cohn believes it's possible. Cohn is co-founder and executive director of the Clean Air Task Force. The nonprofit works on global commercialization of nuclear power and clean coal technology. He says there are historical precedents for rapidly reducing emissions.
Take, for example, the United States and what it did with acid rain and with sulfur. We have reduced acid rain emissions from U.S. power plants by 90% from roughly the late 80s. We did that with a bolt-on technology called scrubbers, or we're on track to get to 90%, I should say, by 2020. The analogy there would be carbon capture and storage, which is also like they said about scrubbers back in the late 80s. Oh, this won't work, or it's going to be too expensive, or it's going to create all this kind of awful waste. In fact, they work. They're relatively cheap. They're very reliable, and we've reduced very significantly, kind of to IPCC analogous levels. We just decided to do it. We mandated it, and people moaned and groaned, but they got on with it. France decided they wanted to get off of oil, and so they said we're going to transform our energy system to be very heavily nuclear dependent, and they did it. And they're still getting 75% of their power from carbon-free sources, i.e. nuclear, and in addition, they have some renewables which reduce their footprint further. Sweden did something very similar with hydro and renewables and with nuclear. So I think that there are a couple of factors here. One is that for reasons having nothing to do with climate, we see some very interesting technologies developing. China is building 28 nuclear reactors right now. These are very advanced reactors. In some cases, the reactors are well advanced of what we have in Europe, in the U.S., and they have very ambitious programs to have much safer, cheaper reactors than we do. And in fact, what we're seeing right now is that they can build them at half the cost that the U.S. can. So you have potentially an exportable product from China, which would be, a zero carbon energy source, very rapidly scalable, not as cheap as coal, but in the ballpark of fossil fuels. And that's, so I think it's a combination of technologies that are coming into their own, renewables, wind and solar are other examples, wind more than solar. We're seeing cost reductions that are getting us into the range of fossil fuels in some locations. And that's a result of people wanting to experiment and the local benefits of having wind power and so forth. So I think you see technology moving sometimes for reasons having nothing to do with climate. And in some cases, we've seen, as in the acid rain example, if the society says, we just got to do this, we do it.
Armin Cohn is co-founder and executive director of the Clean Air Task Force, the nonprofit works to commercialize zero carbon technologies around the world. So the Asian Development Bank reports that CO2 emissions are predicted to triple in the Asia-Pacific region by 2050. So you just laid out China's one path that China's taking. But how realistic are China's coal reduction goals?
I don't actually think that China is going to substantially reduce its reliance on coal in the next 40 years. And that's just a fact. They've already built a fleet of coal plants, which is 2.5 times the American fleet. They're probably going to add another America's worth of coal power. China
getting it from America in some cases?
We're beginning to see some exports, but it's not significant. China is going to be mostly self-dependent. What we do really has very little to do with this. China is going to do it because it's a lot cheaper than natural gas, and because it's going to take a while to gear up their nuclear and their renewables programs. That said, I think we're likely to see a plateau in China coal use somewhere around 2030, 2035, and then it's a race against time to either retire those plants or retrofit them with carbon capture technology. So, Steve, what I would say is that it's unlikely that renewables are going to eliminate growth in coal in Asia. I think that's an unrealistic view in the next 10 or 20 years. I think what we can do and what China's already doing is it's beginning to demonstrate carbon capture technology that reduces the carbon emissions from coal down to near zero. And they have a project in Inner Mongolia right now that's demonstrating that. They have four more that are in the queue. They seem to be able to do this technology at about half the cost that the West can. It's still expensive, but like anything, they'll learn by doing. I actually think China is going to show us the way on fossil fuels. I think they're going to lead us by showing that you can scrub carbon out of coal and natural gas. So I think that definitely the coal, there's no question that the number that I recently read was that by 2035, 25% of global CO2 emissions will be from Asian coal plants if we don't do something about that. I think the things that we can do are, number one, scrub the carbon out of coal through carbon capture. And second, we can really start to accelerate that build of renewables and nuclear so that they really do have an option. There are some people who think that you may be able to get nuclear down to the cost where it actually might be dropped in to replace a coal boiler and basically produce the power with all the existing infrastructure, but you're taking out the coal, the piece of the coal production part of that process. Can we get there? I don't know. There's some people. China seems to have an uncanny ability to take technology like wind and solar. They've shown it. They've shown it with coal. They can take a Western technology and they can reduce its costs by two or threefold.
Can we just leave on the table that there are people who are still concerned about nuclear power, and that it's very controversial? Because I want to ask you about something you said about solar.
Yeah.
Why is solar? I thought solar was now catching up in cost and then benefit to wind, and was actually going to be more of a bigger part of the wedge.
You can look at all kinds of numbers. I think that the IEA, International Energy Agency's current number would be that solar power, just viewed at the place where it's produced, is something like three or four times the cost of coal-fired power in Asia, for example. And wind might be more like twofold, maybe two times more expensive than Asian coal. There's no question that solar energy and wind power have both come down, and we hope they will continue to. There is a point at which the solar cells can be cost zero, and you have a what's called the balance of system that isn't very amenable to cost reductions. But right now, you'd have to say in the United States, you know, the U.S. DOE says that, Department of Energy says that photovoltaic power is something on the order of two times or three times the cost of an existing coal-fired power plant. So we're improving, but the other issue associated with solar and with wind is that they are variable. The sun doesn't always shine, and you need significant amount of power to back up when the sun isn't shining, and particularly in climates in places like Seattle. Now, that's an issue you can solve. It's going to be very expensive to solve. And so you may not see solar. I don't think you're going to see solar taking over, you know, 30 or 40% of global power supply. But it's going to potentially have a very large niche, no question.
Well, we solve it in the Northwest with hydropower.
Well, there's certainly a legacy. Hydro is the largest renewable energy source on the planet right now. There's no question about it. And far larger than wind and solar. And the question with hydro is really what are some of the other environmental impacts? And, you know, it's, you know, the Three Gorges Dam in China is something that they hope to replicate. You know, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know. My own personal view on this is that we do have in nuclear, despite its problems, it is a very dense power source that does not require a lot of land area. And so, among other things, you don't have other environmental impacts. You do have some environmental impacts to worry about. You know, Steve, I think it's a world of trade-offs. If you're going to get 80% reductions or 90% reductions that the IPCC says, the coming from Boston, I would say the analogy is multiple shots on goal, just like in hockey. You got to have multiple shots. And unless we keep nuclear, carbon capture, and renewables in the mix, and I think this is what the IPCC says too, kiss any of those targets goodbye.
Well, there are critics of Armin Cohn's arguments. Clean capture technology doesn't even exist outside lab experiments. The public is wary of nuclear power. In the weeks ahead, we'll talk to people who believe the era of solar has arrived. You're tuned to The Record. I'm Steve Scherr with Marcy Summon.